Good morning. It's Thursday, April 25th, and this is the Daily Chirp Podcast. We're bringing you a closer look at one of our top stories and other important things going on in our community. Today, we look into a troubling investigation involving two Douglas animal control officers accused of dumping feral cats in the desert just outside the city limits. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors at Lawley Automotive.
Hi everyone, I'm Sean Lawley from the Lawley Automotive Group, and we've stocked up on inventory at all of our dealerships. If you've been thinking about a new car, we've got the deal for you on a new Buick, GMC, Chevrolet, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, Honda, Nissan, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. You don't have to go to Tucson or Phoenix to buy a new vehicle. We're your hometown dealer since 1995. We'll beat the big city dealers in price, and our customer service is small town dealer friendly. Come into any one of the Lawley dealerships today or shop lawleycars.com and see why nobody beats a Lawley deal. Nobody.
Before we begin, some Arizona trivia. Did you know that John Shadegg is a politician who served as a U.S. representative for Arizona's 3rd Congressional District from 1995 to 2011? His district included much of northern Phoenix and was previously numbered as the 4th District before 2000. Shadegg, a University of Arizona graduate, began his career in law before entering politics. Shadegg held key positions in the House, including chairman of the Republican Study Committee and the House Republican Policy Committee. He advocated for conservative causes, opposed health care reform, and supported stringent immigration measures. After not seeking re-election in 2010, Shadegg continued his career in law and public policy advocacy. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Benson Hospital. Benson Hospital now has 3 locations for primary care services. Let their compassionate providers care for your entire family. Your health starts here. Call to schedule an appointment today at 520-720-6551. Now our feature story. Two Douglas animal control officers were accused of dumping feral cats in the desert just outside the city limits, as per a report from the Cochise County Sheriff's Office. These actions have sparked significant concern and led to a broader discussion on animal management policies. The incident came to light when a local resident walking his dog discovered the remains of several animals, including a dead cat inside a garbage bag near North Coronado and East Elcola Drives. This prompted him to report suspicious activity after observing the animal control officer's frequent visits to the area. The officers involved, identified as Adrian Grijalva and Michael Beck, were placed on administrative leave. They defended their actions by stating that releasing the cats into the desert was a better alternative to euthanasia, which is a common fate for many feral cats at local shelters. According to Grijalva and Beck, the shelter annually euthanizes between 500 and 900 cats. However, both officers admitted they were aware that the cats were unlikely to survive in the harsh desert environment. Their justification stemmed from advice purportedly given by an employee of the Humane Society who allegedly supported the idea that euthanasia would not resolve the city's feral cat issue. The Humane Society employee, Christopher Meek, denied involvement when questioned by authorities. The allegations and subsequent investigation have brought to light the lack of clear policies at the animal shelter regarding the handling of feral or caught animals. This has led to a broader examination of practices and prompted city officials to seek improvements. Douglas Police Chief Craig Fullen confirmed that the city has recently taken over management of the animal shelter and is applying for a grant to enhance their facility and practices. This grant would allow for a comprehensive assessment and the implementation of best practices in animal management. Despite the gravity of the accusations, the Cochise County Attorney's Office has decided not to prosecute Grijalva and Beck, citing insufficient evidence to ensure a conviction under the current interpretation of animal cruelty laws. To stay up to date on this story, visit myheraldreview.com. Thanks for listening. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors, Prestige Family Living.
Join us at Prestige Assisted Living in Sierra Vista as we host a casino night on Friday, May 17th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Enjoy the glamour and games of Vegas right here at our community. We'll have some of your favorite casino games, along with delicious snacks and cocktails. You'll also be able to tour our community, meet our team, and see how we celebrate life at every age. For more about our casino night, visit prestigecare.com/Sierra Vista. Again, that's prestigecare.com/Sierra Vista.
Next, Pat's Run is celebrating its 20th anniversary, and it has become one of Tempe's biggest events. What started as a way to honor the late Pat Tillman has grown into something that brings many people together.
Pat's Run is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. The race started in 2004 after some of Pat Tillman's closest friends decided to create something to honor his legacy.
The former ASU and Arizona Cardinals standout was killed in action in Afghanistan as a member of the Army's elite Rangers. Cronkite News reporter Sam Valenti has more on how Pat's Run came to be and the impact it still has.
In its two decades, Pat's Run has grown into one of the Valley's biggest events. While it was born from an unthinkable tragedy, for Tillman's friends, including Christina Hunley, it was a way to keep Tillman's memory alive.
It was partially out of grief, it was partially out of admiration, and it was partially out of we didn't want that to be at the end of Pat's legacy here in Arizona.
The group decided that a run would be a fitting tribute, and Perry Enninger, who was Tillman's athletic trainer at ASU, came up with the concept of building the event around Pat's number 42.
We came down with foundations for this event. It needed to be 4.2 miles. It needed to end inside Sun Devil Stadium. It needed to involve kids and family and have a 0.42 mile kids run.
From those first races to the present, the event has made a positive impact on many, something that co-founder Doug Tamaro emphasizes.
It's the state's greatest day. It really is, I believe that. Rarely do you have 25,000 people happy. And that's been the case every year. I mean, everybody enjoys Pat's Run. Whether you walk it, jog it, bring your family, everybody enjoys Pat's Run.
The race also became the primary fundraiser for the Pat Tillman Foundation and the Tillman Scholars Program. The program invests in the education of military service members, veterans, and spouses.
To see it grow both physically and just the impact that's grown just from the foundation and with the Tillman Scholar program now, and having over 900 scholars all over the world doing good work in Pat's name and in support of the foundation is just a remarkable reach.
Haejung Park, who earned a PhD in developmental psychology, was a 2020 Tillman Scholar. The program has provided her with the chance to forge connections with other scholars.
I get to meet with scholars who've been a scholar for several years, and I get to meet with new scholars and their passions. And what we do is we communicate about, like, okay, how can we take this a step further?
Park currently works at the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, and being a Tillman Scholar has allowed her to make a difference in people's lives.
My portfolio ranges between, like, health equity to Alzheimer's and dementia, and things like topics like exposome. And so it's been a lot, it's been fulfilling, and I'm very happy to be able to blend my career with, like, who I am as a person and a Tillman Scholar.
From bringing people from across the country together to enriching education, Pat's Run has made an impact on the lives of many, an impact not lost on the event's founders.
I don't know what I've done. I don't know how many things I've done good, how many people I've influenced, but I can say that this event and assisting it has given me the opportunity to feel like I've really done one good thing in my life. It's really, really makes me feel good that I can, when my time is done, maybe I'll be remembered for doing something good. And that's pretty cool.
In Tempe, Sam Valenti, Cronkite News.
Thanks for listening. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors, Ace Hardware.
Hi, this is Les from Sierra Vista Ace. This is a great time to paint. Ace stocks Clark and Kensington, Valspar, Dunn Edwards, and our own Ace Royal Paint in interior and exterior finishes. We can computer match other brands and colors too. All the colors you can imagine, even one named Sierra Vista. Decide on the wall or room to paint, bring in a color idea, and let Ace mix your paint. Treat yourself to a new brush and roller too. Save gas, save time, shop Ace first. Sierra Vista Ace since 1981 on the corner of Fry and Highway 92.
Next, an upcoming event that you should know about. Tonight at 6:30 p.m., head over to the Cochise County Complex Board of Supervisors Chambers to learn how to become a Skywarn spotter. Meteorologists from the Tucson Forecast Office will hold a 90-minute severe weather spotter training class. The program is free of charge and open to all area residents interested in weather, thunderstorms, and public safety. All course materials are provided and no RSVP is necessary. volunteers will learn how to identify important thunderstorm characteristics, types of severe weather, weather safety, and reporting procedures. Finally, today we're remembering the life of Michael Wynken. He served in the U.S. Army from 1970 until 1972. He married Linda in 1973 and raised a family together. Michael loved sprint car racing, traveling, watching his sons play basketball, and working in his yard. He was a member of St. Andrew's Catholic Church in Sierra Vista and retired from the Illinois Department of Corrections at Menard Correctional Center. He loved his family and always did the best for them. He is preceded in death by his father and one son. He is survived by his wife, three sons, five grandchildren, and siblings. Thank you for taking a moment to celebrate and remember Michael's life and service. Thanks for tuning in to the Herald Review podcast today. And remember, the Herald Review is here for you with local news you can trust. Subscribe today for unlimited access to all of our content for just $14 per month. This is less than the cost of 1 hour of one reporter's work on a single story. Also, want to stay up to date on what's going on? Join Neighbor, your trusted neighborhood community. Neighbor is a free online forum you can trust to connect with your community, focus on facts, and make a difference. Join the conversation. Visit nabur.myheraldreview.com.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, especially in Cochise County. Become part of the hyperlocal conversation on Cochise County's exclusive social media platform, Neighbor. That's N-A-B-U-R. Your neighbors are striking up meaningful conversations, sharing exquisite Cochise County photos, and respecting each other's views without any other social media noise. No unwanted advertising and only respectful conversations on hot community topics. That's right. Our journalism project manager can set the record straight and help answer any pressing questions about the happenings in our community. Join the conversation at myheraldreview.com/NABUR.